Evidence that I'm doing like this sort of way that it was not him Oh, yes, a very good explanation, and that will be very useful for me when people come and ask the reason of this. So that's why I deliberately asked you. Thank you.
I think it's very important that people should realize in your words that owing to the many complications of derivative of communication and the thought in itself is the predominant thing that matters. It is thought that is transmitted to you artificially, but in the transmission of thought, there may be discrepancies, there may be things which don't quite fit in with your way of thinking or your way of accepting. I mean, for instance, you may have a strong frequency's idea about the pattern, and it may be through experience that you have that strong frequency's knowledge and firm idea. I mean, for instance, if you've known someone that before you're 50 years or that, and you know their personality, and you know the way of their speech, and their ability of synthesis, and what have you, that help to contribute to what qualities the person is using them or that. Naturally, if someone comes and gives you a message, no matter if the context is excellent, if the voice and the personality does not match up, you see, well, I don't know whether it was really that person or whether it was someone impersonating that person. And that's where you get this fanfare in your world amongst citizens and people that exist, and they are present. Because they wonder how much is 100%, how much is really that person, and how much is impersonation. You see, a lot of things have to be looked into, a lot of things have to be accepted and understood, and you have to realize that there's no such thing fundamentally already. Or very rare that you can expect to get 100% communication. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's rare and it's difficult. Only a person with a very great knowledge of communication and a very strong personality at that can hope to get through a great deal of themselves of what they want to see or to be. And that's why I get difficult at for instance, I have been speaking to you, and because I'm very good at it now, I've got to so focused or too sort of assured in myself about it that I can do it quite well. But there are times when perhaps I've been speaking for 20 minutes or so of your time, that I feel the weakening there. I feel that I'm not holding on as strong as I was at first, which will be big. When someone else comes in and takes over gradually, sometimes it's so subtle that probably you hardly.
Oh, yes, yes, I have.
But the point is, it does happen. You see, this merging, if you like, this merging of communication, or this merging of personality, which happens to parents and so on, is very understandable, because you have to realize that the word box, or the instrument, if you like, that we use, is on a certain wavelength of vibration, and that person has been attuned over years of development, no doubt, to become an instrument on a certain wavelength of vibration, and in consequence, we have to tune in, and we have to be in harmony with that person. That's why harmony is another of your parts in the film. Yeah. If you have a group of people that are in perfect harmony, that are used to sitting for a long period of time together, they know each other and understand each other and trust each other and have a great affection. In other words, if you've got a perfect combination of conditions, then it makes our task much easier, because we've got not only the power which is derived from the various bitters as power in a physical sense, but we have the mental harmony too, and we have the cooperative spirit, and we have a great deal there that we can work upon and use, and in consequence we can often hold on for quite a long time, much more so than in a promiscuous group of people that have together, each one having their own strong personality, and each one having their own desires, and wanting this and wanting that, and each one is pulling, as it were, for themselves, and they have no interest in the other people present. In other words, they have quite perhaps unconsciously, but a selfish motive.
Right.
And that's where I think mediumship feels extreme. You see, a medium is a highly sensitized individual, not necessarily only from the point of view of personality and temperament, but also from the psychic sense that they have this quality which has been developed, which over a period of time has become so sensitized that in under certain conditions they can be used as instruments in a very highly successful manner. But the whole point is that if, like all sensitive things, all sensitive instruments, even in a mechanical and technical sense on your side, if they are abused or if they are used without knowledge, if they are hand-fisted, as it were, by people. In other words, if someone know how to take care of a delicate piece of machinery and see if it's running in the proper manner and that it's cared for, then gradually it will break down. And that's where the problem of our professional medium is, I think, that although this is our job to spread truth, and that's the job that we have, of course, at the same time, they must be used in the right way, they must be careful, and they must be nurtured, and they must not be allowed to listen to that. I mean, I'm not suggesting that anyone has the right to try and control another person through their thoughts and their actions. A person must be allowed to develop their own personality and character, and they must be given free will. But the point is, there must be a corrupt, cooperative spirit with the medium, and realize his responsibility to others and to the work that he has to do. It's a tremendous undertaking, and I realize that there are very few people that really can fulfill the demand that's placed upon them. And when a person has developed and been developed after a great deal of effort by outright, then they have a right. They have not only a right of God to their own personal life, but they have an obligation. They have an obligation to fulfill to themselves and to the people that they help and work for. And of course to those who have done so much for them from the side. You see, if you've got the right kind of mentality, if you have a medium who's prepared to give his life in service to humanity and prepared to cooperate in every possible way, then we have a channel. And the higher that thought, the more, as it were, they think on the lines of spiritual things and put the true values on things that matter, then we have got an instrument that we can really work with and through and do great things. And we have so much hope here. And I know that there's been disappointments and there's been setbacks and all the rest of it. I'm not blaming anyone for that because I've been a last person. Because I know that one must be human and one must do certain things in the material world. These are material things. You can move them in your world. Be on the side of the same time or be the sort of person you may even like to be or would want to be. Because sometimes it's not quite possible. But the point is that when there is complete cooperation outside this human department, there are no limits to what can be achieved. I mean, I've heard what I promised here, I've heard the things that I've said, and I have no doubt in my mind that there are no limits that could be reached if only there is a continuation of love and harmony and cooperation. To the realization of what can be done by the powers, because there's no limit really when there is complete harmony and complete cooperation between our world and them. As old as we are, we more to live.
Oh yes, we all realize that.
I know from all experience and stuff in the committee that the people that come are really quite, I know they're probably annoying to them, but they're quite wonderful people. They are extremely fine people with high motives, and they have got so much that they want to achieve, so much that they want to bring through. You know, when I first came here, I was asking for 12 hours. I've learned a great deal by coming here and listening and get to know these people and begin to appreciate that actually what they're trying to do and what they're aiming for. I realize that they're really so unselfish, and they give up so much to come down to earth and to do this work and to give all that they can give in helping not only you, but whoever comes here, whether it's in a normal way, apart from the ordinary group that you see in the general system. But the people that come here, I've been here many a time when people have come, and they've been in great sorrow, and they've been in great need, and the rule that I've worked on this side to help those people, to bring their dear ones through, and help to comfort them, help to give them a new way of life, is been a great revelation to me, because really, they give up so much. I don't think anyone realizes quite what. They've been allowed to tell you that. It's true that the time they spend on earth is insignificant in kindness. That's all very true. They often see that. And I would not be right to deny that. But it seems to me that it's not an easy thing. I know from experience, it's not an easy thing. When you have seen and experienced and you've lived in a world which is so far removed in so many different ways from earth, where everything is so much finer, so much nobler, and so much more lovely to enter into the old earth ways of thought and living. If we do that then for time when we come here, it's no easy.
I know. You have changed a great deal, David.
Oh, that's I do have got a sense of humor.
Yes, yes, yes.
But the point is that I realize that I never used to think very deeply. It was the answer of something like exactly because I do think by my nature that I was never unkind, not really unkind, or that I thought badly of other people. As a matter of fact, I was looking rather diplomatic, but at the same time, this is the way I wanted to live. I had no thought of a moral. I was pretty easy going, but now I feel much more deeply. And I realize that life is serious business, and not something that you can just sit through from day to day. And I don't mean only life on this side, but life on this. Life is an experience to this. A precious gift.
Well, you're an extension of this one.
I and there's too much to stimulate and too much to learn, too much to know about, too much to experience in so many different ways. And I realize now, more than I ever did, that in Europe, many of the difficult things that I looked upon, not the things that are simple and easy, not the happier moments perhaps when everything goes well, those things are natural that we like the most. It's only human, but it is the reverse of the fortune. Disappointment in life and the privation that comes from sorrow and suffering, you learn much more than you can ever learn through having your own way and getting everything you want. Because even those things, important though they are, sometimes fall very quickly because you find that after all you didn't want this or you didn't want that as bad as you thought you did, and it didn't turn out quite as you expected it might have done. In fact, there's so many disappointments and things that one thinks one wants and loves and likes and so on, that I find that in the result of the fortune, in the sadness of the setback, we become kinder, we become more human, more understanding, more tolerant, more patient. In fact, we learn all the good qualities through, strangely enough, the bad events.
That's not true. It's through bad
events. Yeah, that's an old saying how people come and do it. And we don't really know what evil is. Evil has sometimes misinterpreted.
Yes.
I think. I've been trying to put the word evil close up to things that are against what we want, that are against what we seek. Of course, we know that there are some things that are downright evil from the point of view of evil and wrong. But at the same time, many of the things that we look down upon and we distrust about, the things that we try to avoid if we can, experience, but whatever experience you have, It can move fully satisfactorily for the simple reason that all those other things that you know somewhere exist, you've got to fight them away. In other words, it's an eternal struggle within oneself for expression, a struggle for realization, and the way to find the path. When you find that path, you catch that path, and sometimes when you know you're on the right path, you feel you must rest a while and gather more strength to go further on. And you know, life is full of interest. It never ceases of interest. No matter what aspect of it is that you have in mind, there's always something fresh in you. There's always strange things that can happen.
Well, that's the beauty of it.
It's a great adventure. And I think that the whole secret is to look upon life from every aspect, from whatever sphere you may be on, whether it's on earth or over here, whatever degree you may be in. It's appreciated and to make your efforts a little more each day to gain more knowledge and experience and to make that possible by thinking not only for self but for others.
Yes.
You know, you learn more through others and by helping others than ever you do by sitting turning your thumb.
Yes, that's quite right. Quite right,
there's
not
exceeding. Quite a bit, I'm sure it's quite a bit. But I will not put it so well there. Very strongly, nevertheless.
You put it very well.
I'm
very, very
clear. I always look forward to your
meetings,
you know that.
Yes.
But I know that with you I can be myself. I can talk naturally and I'm open up.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, to be quite honest about this, I get a tremendous kick out of coming to talk to you. And also I feel all the time that in some strange kind of ways that I'm learning to.
You're learning. Yes, that's true. That I'm very, very glad to found your way. Yeah.
But you know you need to worry.
No.
I mean, I know you've been told this many times, but you have to stay tired of it. But it's peace. Although your life is not always easy, the pattern doesn't fall in that way the way you'd like it. At the same time, I know that you have no cause to be unduly concerned about the future.
Hmm. That's all right, David. How about that?
Sometimes as I know that I've only come here to be such a reflection for you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Joseph.
Bye.
Thank you.